You are an energetic being first and foremost, so the quality of your energy field is really important. It works like a filter, each part of the field enabling or preventing whatever is turning up in your life. This is the Future Self Energetics Show. I'm your host, Amanda Nelson, and I work in the body, mind and spirits community. I'm an award-winning master energist. That's a therapist that specializes in improving the quality of the energy fields that move in, through and around your body. If you want anything in your life to change, you have to begin with changing your energy field first. So my shows are a mixture of talk and therapy ideas, interviews and thought-provoking inspiration. They're all about energy, energy fields, protection and connection. If there's a topic you'd love me to cover in my show, please email me, amanda@futureselfenergetics.com. And if you love the show here on UK Health Radio, please spread the word about it in your networks. This week's show is all about a story. It's a story about two men, two chairs, and a desire to go home. And by the end of it, I think you'll understand something about manifestation and consciousness that I feel is genuinely difficult to put into words any other way, which is perhaps why this particular story and stories like it have been shared for nearly a century. So I hope you enjoy it. If you've been following along with my 2026 experiment on this show, welcome back. And if you're joining us for the first time, you're very welcome too. Let me give you the briefest of pictures then, so that what I'm about to share makes sense right from the very beginning. So at the start of this year, instead of setting aside dates and dreaming up goals and targets for myself, as I had in previous years, I decided to try something quite different. I took a large wall calendar, the kind that you pin up so that you can see all the days of the year at once, and I divided it into coloured spaces using really cute coloured tape that I had bought. And then I blocked out entire weeks, all odd weeks, weeks 1, 3, 5, 7, 9, and so on. They were all orange for client work and admin and banking and session notes and catching up and writing and courses and all types of service related things. And then all the even weeks like 2, 4, 6, 8, 10 and so on throughout the year were all taped green for what I called spaces of pure potentiality. Time that I was just deliberately leaving open and available for whatever chose to arrive. No agenda attached, no plan written in it. Open systems. This is what I wanted instead of what felt like closed off containers, which is usually what my calendar felt like in 2025 and previously too. And I chose to invest time this year in experimentation. So instead of saying I have to do this, I'd say, oh, I wonder what would happen if I chose to do this. Yeah, so I don't want to fill in these green spaces too fast in advance, and I haven't done this yet, because the whole point of those green spaces is to simply make space, a lot of space available, and then wait to see what the universe decides to send that I feel I would like to connect with. And I have to tell you, the universe has really shown up to play its part. And each week on my shows, I'm sharing what's coming up and how it relates to this 2026 experiment overall that I'm in. And so it isn't a surprise to me that within one of those, let's call them green spaces, those weeks of pure potentiality, I seem to have come across a story. And this is the story I want to share with you, because actually it's inviting me to change a little bit, to modify a little bit about some of those green potential spaces. Rather than simply allowing anything that wants to come into those spaces, which after all is a wonderful experience as well, I wonder whether I could make some of those spaces available to something that I really did want to happen. Not to make it happen, but just to create the space so that if it wanted to show up, it could. This week then, were going into that green space. And what came into that space is a name that I'm already very familiar with, Neville Goddard. And a story involving Neville and two chairs that were placed facing one another in a room in New York. It was sometime in the 1930s. And with Neville, there was another man, a teacher that Neville, I think, was very fortunate to have, a man called Abdullah. Now, I've known about Neville's work for some time, as many of you probably have. I'm sure you might have. If you haven't, have a look into it. Though do go to the original work that Neville did rather than some of the AI mashups or the sort of the AI voiceovers of some of his work. You need to go back to the original if you can. So Neville, he's a really well-respected figure in the world of exploring the art of delving into consciousness and manifestation. And with very good reason, I think. I find his work is awesome. It speaks to me completely. And until last week, though, I've never really heard this particular story before. So it was very interesting for me to listen to it. And it's why when I had, I thought, I think this would be really good to share with you today. Because what Abdullah was teaching Neville, because this is really what the story is about, in that room in New York with those two chairs, I think it's precisely the kind of thing that I want to be experimenting with this year. And so in my green weeks of pure potentiality, I think this is a way of up-leveling them a little bit without significantly doing a great deal. So this is the Future Self Energetics show on UK Health Radio. I'm your host, Amanda Nelson. And on the show this week, we're going to explore a really remarkable story that came to me during one of those green weeks on my 2026 experiment. It's one of those stories that I think holds a precise and radical type of key to the question of how we unlock what we want, what feels like it's been waiting for us in our future lives with our future self, if we can choose it. So it's a story of two men, two chairs, and a conversation that took place in New York in the 1930s. It's the story of Neville Goddard and his extraordinary teacher, Abdullah, and what they understood between them about consciousness and the manifested world. I think it's really relevant and as necessary right now as it's ever been. Maybe it's necessary right now more than ever. So Neville Goddard then. He was a Barbadian-born mystic. He was an author. His books, his lectures, many of them recorded back in the 50s and the 60s, they're still leading the way in how we understand consciousness and evolution. And his core teaching, his central teaching, which he arrived at partly through his own spiritual experiences and partly through being a student of Abdullah, was this: consciousness is the only reality. Imagining creates fact. And the way you imagine is not with pictures alone, but also with feelings, with the fullest sensory experience of the wish already fulfilled that you can create. Now, Abdullah himself was he was a man of deep esoteric learning, and he taught Neville, I think, for about 5 years. He never charged him a penny. Abdullah, though, was quite demanding as a teacher because he was laser focused. He was absolutely precise in how he taught, and he operated from a level of understanding about consciousness that was probably quite challenging in a way. I wonder whether working with him could end up feeling a little bit frustrating at times. So to Abdullah, if you had set an intention of something, if you had claimed that state of being for yourself, then Abdullah said that state was already real in consciousness, and consciousness being the only true substance of reality would inevitably produce the physical evidence of itself. You just had to give it time. He had no doubt about this in any way at all. And I think in some ways, Neville, at some point during his years of study with Abdullah, would have been very challenged by this at first, but it was the two-chair experiment, I think. I can't say it for sure, but my understanding is this was a turning point for him where he started to really understand what the teachings, what the understanding that Abdullah brought really was. Let me explain. So Neville wanted to go home to visit Barbados. His family was there and he had not seen them in some time, and he really longed to go home. But there was only one real difficulty for him. He had absolutely no money for the fare, no prospect whatsoever of getting the money either. And he went to Abdullah and he explained the situation to his mentor, expecting, I suppose, some practical wisdom, some encouragement, some esoteric technique for attracting the necessary money. All right. But Abdullah's answer was not what Neville had expected. Abdullah said, with complete matter-of-factness, as the story goes, that Neville was already in Barbados. Now, Neville was left a bit baffled by this. He was quite obviously standing in a room in New York with Abdullah, and to him, he was not in Barbados at all. He had no ticket still, he had no money, he had no prospect of either. And Abdullah said to Neville, "Neville, you're in Barbados. Act from there." And Abdullah placed two chairs in the room where they were, facing each other. He sat in one, and he indicated that Neville should sit in the other. And he told Neville to sit down and then speak to him as if he, Neville, were looking back at New York from Barbados. He wanted Neville to occupy the consciousness of a man who was already in Barbados, looking back towards New York, speaking from Barbados in the arrived state. So he asked Neville, "Speak as if you're in Barbados. Have a conversation with me as if you're already there with your family, already thinking back towards New York that you had left behind you. Speaking as if you're already there places your consciousness inside the state of the wish fulfilled. It fully inhabits it." And this was Abdullah's teaching.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving. It's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Sarah wasn't bad at her job, she was stuck in hidden grief. After her dog died, she took a sales role just to stay busy, but every pitch felt empty. A Cogna Movement session uncovered that she was seeking the warmth of her dog rather than serving her clients. Using our patented movements and sensory patterns, she cleared the grief and rocketed to the top. What hidden emotion is holding you back? Try our Essentials program at a special UK Health Radio rate. Visit cognamovement.com/radio or click on the Cogna Movement banner on the UK Health Radio homepage. Results vary.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Good, good, good. This is the Future Self Energetic Show. I'm Amanda Nelson, and we've been exploring the story of Neville Goddard and his teacher Abdullah, and specifically this extraordinary moment of realization that comes from the two chairs that were placed facing each other in a room in New York, and the radical instruction from Abdullah that Neville followed. Speak as if you are already in Barbados, Neville. Inhabit it. So Neville tried it. He sat in the chair and he attempted to speak to Abdullah from Barbados. And he felt in some ways he couldn't do it because he kept slipping back into the reality of a man in New York who desperately wanted to go to Barbados. And Abdullah, with that particular quality that seems to mark his teaching, kept redirecting Neville back. You're not there yet, he would say. Neville lacked the shift required because it asked him to release the perspective of a person who is still waiting, still hoping, still working towards their dream, a dream that hadn't been realised yet. So I think, if I'm honest, I think most of us would have been coming at our dreams from this perspective all our lives. But what if we chose to experiment with Abdullah's guidance? What if we experimented as if we had two chairs and we chose to occupy the chair that belonged to the version of ourself in the future where the wish was already truly fulfilled? And eventually something shifted for Neville, as the story goes. He found he could access the feeling of being in Barbados. He found the consciousness of the man already back home, looking across the water towards New York, speaking to his friends and family, most of all feeling the feeling of him being back in Barbados. And at this point, I think something that had been reaching and straining inside of him must have just stopped and released, because from inside the state of the wish fulfilled, there is nothing left to reach for. It is already achieved. And so without that kind of energetic block, the wish can easily unlock itself into being, into reality. So this is what happened next. Remember, Neville had no money, no ticket, and no reasonable prospect of them either, or at least not yet. But within a relatively short amount of time, a sequence of events began to unfold, and they led him actually to getting back to Barbados. A series of circumstances took place that could not have been engineered by Neville's conscious mind, and yet they were delivered precisely when he needed. So they must have been engineered by him. His consciousness must have responded. Even though Neville didn't have to do anything except be ready to receive what showed up. He got to Barbados and he saw his family and his wish was fulfilled. So the point of this, in a way, is that your energy field responds to where you locate yourself in your awareness, in your emotion, in your feeling, not to what you wish for from a position of lack. And this is where I think the deepest resonance with what I have been exploring in my 2026 experiment seems to show up. What I want to do is precisely what Abdullah was teaching Neville to do in those chairs. I would like to choose a state, inhabit that state, occupy the consciousness, the conscious state of the wish fulfilled, and speak sitting in the chair from the arrived place. The only thing I have to do is decide what I would like to experiment with for this. And there's a part of me that loves mischief, that wants to choose something which is fairly improbable from where I'm sitting now, because that, in a way, not as a test, but it would be a delicious experiment, wouldn't it? I wonder if I chose something improbable and then I sat in that second chair and I spoke from the position of that improbability and see what happens. And I find myself thinking about what the chair I am sitting in now in any given moment as well. Am I in the chair of the person who's reaching or straining or hoping or driving or working towards something? Or instead, am I in the chair of the person who's already there And just looking back with that quiet certainty of one who has fulfilled a dream and one who is fully arrived and settled in that dream. And how would I speak differently or feel differently or carry myself differently or enter into my day if I always lived from that second chair? And which chair are you occupying too?
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
Imagine. Every day, clients walk into your office with their concerns about intimacy, identity, desire, and trauma. Questions that require more than basic training. Emotional and sexual dynamics are evolving, and today's professionals must evolve with them. We hear from parents unable to start conversations with their children around identity. Too often, adolescents have learned their sexual ideas from the internet. Couples have difficulty communicating about sex with each other. At the International Institute of Clinical Sexology, you can gain the specialized skills and knowledge to address those issues with confidence. Whether you are a therapist, coach, educator, or other healthcare professional, our advanced certifications and PhD program empower you to become a highly skilled, sought-after sex therapist. Expand your expertise. Elevate your earning potential. Start your journey today with the International Institute of Clinical Sexology. Imagine making a difference in our world. Learn more at clinicalsexologyphd.org.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
I'm Amanda Nelson. This is the Future Self Energetic Show on UK Health Radio. And we've been exploring a story, two men, two chairs, and a desire to go home. And we've been looking at Abdullah's teachings to Neville Goddard and what it means to locate your consciousness inside the state of the wish fulfilled rather than standing outside and beyond that wish, reaching into it. Now, in short, Neville occupied the chair of his wish fulfilled, and then his wish became a reality. He unexpectedly received some money, but as it happened, it wasn't enough to buy a first-class ticket on the ship to Barbados that he wanted. Neville bought the ticket using the money he had, despite being disappointed that he couldn't get home first class. But because he was in that state of the wish fulfilled, because he could sit in the second chair of the person, the one who had actually received a first class ticket, he showed up at the time of the departure with his ticket and found that he could be upgraded without paying any more money to first class as a space had become available and it was offered to him. I love it. So there's a question that I think is worth asking yourself. This is an invitation from me to you to explore it. In the relation to anything that you most desire, whether that is the quality of your health or a level of financial abundance or a relationship or a sense of living more purposefully or being able to travel, despite where you are now, which chair would you choose to habitually sit yourself in? I know which one I would choose. Are you choosing to sit in the chair of the wish fulfilled Or are you choosing to sit in the chair, gazing over to the chair where the wish would be fulfilled if you could only sit in it? My invitation to you is, why don't you just sit in the chair? If you're electing to sit in the chair of the person who wants something, or you're in the chair which naturally feels quite different, which is the chair of the person who has received that, well, that's quite a big shift. From the perspective of the person in that second chair, the thing you desire is not something you're trying to achieve anymore. It's something that you have received. It is somewhere you already are. And I say a lot to people, if you want to understand this in a little bit more detail, perhaps, I don't know, you wish that you could travel. Maybe you would like to travel to a place somewhere in the world. Let's say you'd really like to go to Singapore, all right? And you don't know how you're going to get there, and you don't know what it will be like to try and raise the money or make the space in your diary or find the support that you need in order to be able to go. But it is somewhere you dream of going. I would say sit in the chair that is the wish fulfilled. Sit and have a perspective of the person who is already in Singapore. Once you're in Singapore, you won't dream of arriving there because you will have already arrived. I suppose that's the subtlety of this. Once you have received the house that you dream of, you'll no longer dream of receiving that house because you will have received it. Once you have that relationship that you dream of, well, once you're in that relationship, you won't dream of having a relationship with anyone else. You'll dream of, your dream has been fulfilled, and therefore it is somewhere you already are. From the chair, from that second chair, you are sitting in the space of the wish fulfilled. And there is, as Neville described it, a sense of something having settled when you achieve that. It's like the relaxation of the straining quality that characterises longing when you're sitting in that first chair where the wish has not been fulfilled at all. But from the second chair, you'd never think or speak about what you hope will happen when you reach there because you'd have reached it. You speak from the consciousness of having it already happened. If you're in Barbados already, you'd never say that you want to get there because it wouldn't make any sense. This is what Neville called living in the end. Neville eventually wrote and taught extensively about what he called living in the end. It became the cornerstone, I think, of everything he shared. The idea that the imagination, properly used, properly focused, which is to say used with feeling, with a full sensory and emotional state of being in the thing already achieved, was to Neville, like it was for Abdullah, the very substance of manifesting whatever it was that you desired. How to achieve the wish to be fulfilled. You have to imagine, and with feeling, because that's the language of consciousness, you have to vibrate quite literally with the wish fulfilled. And then consciousness, because this is how it's designed, will rearrange itself to meet that reality. It must. It's compelled to do so because that is the way the system is set up. And all you are doing by sitting in the second chair is waiting for the physical world to catch up with the reality you are giving it, which it will, of course, because the physical world is always catching up with consciousness. It has no choice but to do that. This is how the system is designed, and this is how the system works. This is why Abdullah told Neville with absolute calm and certainty that he was already in Barbados. He was speaking from a precise understanding of how reality becomes constructed. In consciousness, which to Abdullah was the only level that mattered, Neville's being in Barbados was as real as anything Abdullah could see in the room in New York with him. The physical evidence was simply still in the process of arriving. I think about this a lot in relation to the green spaces on my wall calendar. These spaces and this sort of system I created to make space for potentiality to arrive, for whatever wished to arrive in that space. And I deliberately didn't fill these spaces in advance with what I thought should happen. I simply made the space available. So what if I now play with this a bit, experiment with it a bit further, go a bit deeper? What if I chose to occupy a second chair that was my desire fulfilled, just to see what happens? Not as a kind of skeptic's test, this isn't what I'm trying to do. It's more as a validation of what I believe is true, but that I've never really put into practice before. The question comes back to, what will I choose? I'm still thinking about that. And when I sit in the second chair properly and the magic unfolds, I'll be sure to tell you about it. I believe it will work, absolutely. So I simply need to choose the dream that is in that second chair. And that's what I'm thinking about. Here is your invitation then. If you want to take it, of course, find yourself two chairs, even if they're in your own imagination, and quite literally sit in each one. I'm actually going to use literal physical chairs. I would like to work with my husband with this, and a bit like Neville did with Abdullah, I would quite literally like to sit in the first chair and say how I'm feeling, and then move into the second chair and also then do the same thing. So I'll sit in the first one and I'll notice myself and how I feel as the person who wants the thing I want. And I'll notice the quality of that wanting, how it shows up and where it is in my body and the feeling of it. And notice how I speak when I speak from that first chair. And then when I'm ready, I'm going to go and get up out of the first chair and I'm going to actually sit in the second chair. And I'll take a breath. And I will place myself as fully as I can in the consciousness of the person who has already arrived in that wish fulfilled. Not who is going to arrive, who is already there. And then I will notice the feeling of that. And I'll notice how I feel and how I speak when I'm in that chair. And how I look back from the second chair to the first, and I want to notice how differently I feel and how differently I speak and even my body language. I want to notice every single thing that has changed and shifted. Now, I don't think I'll need to stay in the chair for very long. I don't think it's a long exercise. I suppose even a few moments has to make a valid contribution. But I think it would be much better if I didn't rush it. I'll just let this happen and I will stay there for as long as feels right. Two chairs, that's all it takes to change the conversation entirely, I think. And it will be fun because this might be inspiring to do with my husband, because then perhaps there will be an exercise like this that I can do and support him in. Maybe you have a friend or a family member who would like to experiment in this way with you this year. Maybe you could have your own 2026 experiment. So there you have it. I promised we'd explore the two-chair teaching of Abdullah and Neville. And we've had a look at the story of these two remarkable men and the radical nature of the instruction that Abdullah gave. It's pretty simple, really. Only speak from the arrived place, the end point of someone who has completely achieved what you currently desire, and what it means to locate your consciousness inside that state of the wish fulfilled, rather than perpetually feeling like you're on the outside of it, reaching towards it from a space where you are not in it yet. Two men, two chairs, and a desire to go home. The teaching is this: the three-dimensional world follows consciousness always. The physical evidence catches up with where you have already located yourself in that awareness. and the shift from the first chair to the second, from the person who wants to the person who has, is available to anyone at any moment in any ordinary day. You don't need special equipment or teaching. You don't have to have the right qualifications or the right circumstances. You don't have to even change anything first. It's completely marvellous as an experiment to try. This is now very much a part of my 2026 experiment, and I would invite you to join me in your own way. I really hope this works for you. I'll share with you how I get on, and I'll keep you updated. Thank you for listening to my show today, and wherever your second chair is, I really truly hope you find it. That's it for another show this week. I'm thrilled that you dropped by. I present Future Self Energetic Show every week for UK Health Radio, and I'd be delighted to spend more time with you next week, so do tune in. The world of energy is amazing, and it's magical, and it's mysterious, and there's always so much for us to explore about it. You have a vital connection to a web of energy fields around you. Use that connection for your benefit. I've been working with vibrational energetics all my life, and I know that when you improve your energy field, you can uplevel any part of your life.